This is 1A. I'm Joshua Johnson, visiting St. Louis Public Radio. We are thrilled to be here with an audience that clearly keeps up with the news. Perhaps you turn to the Friday News Roundup, but about 50,000 people, hopefully in addition to us, turn to journalist Gabe Fleischer for a daily dose of what he considers important in the news. Fleischer writes a newsletter called Wake Up to Politics. It's filled with the latest happenings, updates on happenings at the White House, in Congress, and in the courts. But the best part of the newsletter is the fact that young Mr. Fleischer is 16 years old. He's a bright spark in St. Louis, followed by some of the very biggest names in political journalism, and somehow manages to stay on top of a rapidly changing news cycle. And he joins us now here at the Community Room at St. Louis Public Radio. Gabe Fleischer, welcome to 1A.
Thank you for having me.
Should you be in school right now? How are you here?
I should be in chemistry class, but I got an exception for this.
So you told. So what did you tell the school? Can I have the day off to be on NPR?
Pretty much.
Dude, really? What do your teachers and your classmates think of this?
They definitely all, you know about the newsletter, and all my teachers are very supportive. A lot of my friends are politically engaged and politically active. A lot of them read the newsletter. A lot of my teachers do. And so I think, obviously, at school, I kind of live my normal life. I'm not that much different from any other teen, but they all know about the newsletter, and I think they think it's pretty cool.
You say a lot of your friends are politically engaged. Is that kind of unique to your group of friends, or do you find that more young people your age are worldly wise or paying attention?
Yeah, I don't think that's unique. I think, for the most part, my generation is very politically engaged and politically aware, very informed about the news. I think you have to look no further than the students in Parkland, who have pretty much built a movement out of their high school. And you can see across the country that there are young people who are following the news and really committed to not only following the news, but becoming a part of it and taking action.
Before we get to your newsletter, I think there are a lot of folks both in Washington and probably here in St. Louis and elsewhere who want to know what their kids are thinking, and particularly what their kids think of the world that their parents have built for them, that their parents are going to leave for them. What do you hear among your friends about politics today and about the world today?
That's a good question. I mean, I can't speak for, an entire generation, but I think certainly there are things that the young people feel like that adults haven't left the best world for us. I think there's a lot of issues from gun control to climate change that really affect young people very closely, and I think you can see that people my age are seeing these things and kind of not really waiting to get involved in them, and are right now writing their lawmakers or getting registered to vote and making sure that they can take action so that they can maybe fix some of the mistakes that some adults have made.
Your newsletter is called Wake Up to Politics. How did the newsletter come about?
Yeah, I really first got interested in politics during the 2008 elections, and I really instantly just got fascinated by presidential politics and history.
Wait, you got interested in the 2008 elections?
That's right.
How old were you?
I was about 7 years old.
You were seven. Politics bit you at seven.
Yeah, I mean, I just think during an election, we obviously just went through one. I think politics are kind of all around us, bumper stickers, yard signs, TV ads, and something about it just seems so interesting to me. It's hard to put your finger on it, but I really just started reading every book I could get my hands on about politics, about history, about presidents. And I first started writing the newsletter to my mom, and she was my first subscriber, and I wrote her. I started writing her every morning, just like a little rundown of what I was reading in the news and what I wanted to tell her, because she had to get to work in the morning, didn't have time for me to tell her in person.
So wait, you're chasing her down the hall. Mommy, can we talk about Dodd-Frank? Like, is that the...
Pretty much. Not far off.
Did your family... And so I assume your family encouraged you in this.
They definitely did. They always have encouraged me and always helped me. And I first started writing it to my mom. She was my first subscriber, and it just has grown from there.
I think if people didn't like you before, you just endeared yourself to the whole country by saying that's very, very sweet. But now you're up to at least, is it 50,000 subscribers?
Almost 50,000.
Why do you think it is that many people have cottoned on to what you have to say? Of all the blogs, and granted, they're probably subscribed to more than one newsletter, mm-hmm. What is it that you're trying to do with your newsletter that's different from everything else?
Yeah, I mean, I think right now, like you said, I just think the news cycle is always changing so quick, and it's really hard for people to keep up with what's going on. And so what I try to offer is just a simple and understandable version of what's going on that does not dumb anything down, that remains comprehensive, but really committed to making sure that it's accessible to anyone, whether it's people my age and their students and there's teachers that use my newsletter in their classrooms to help teach their students, or whether you're working in Washington or in New York in a newsroom or in a political office. There's really, my subscribers range from all levels of political engagement, and I think I try to make it accessible to any of those people so any of them can understand what's going on and follow what's going on in a nonpartisan fashion, but that is kind of accessible to anyone.
J. Nikki Mack writes, I've been a subscriber to Wake Up to Politics for the past year. It is concise, digestible, and straightforward. I didn't realize how much I had come to rely on my daily updates until Gabe took a week's hiatus for spring break. Just a small reminder that such amazing work is coming from a 16-year-old. And Chuck wrote on our website, the1a.org, children reporting on politics makes sense. Our politicians behave like children. What do you think about what's going on in the Beltway? Do you want to get to Washington and report on politics, or does it make a difference not being inside the Beltway, being in the Midwest talking about Washington?
That's a really good question. I think right now it does give me a different perspective, the fact that I'm a 16-year-old writing from the Midwest. I think that's part of why people come to my newsletter, because I think there's kind of a sense in Washington that everyone's kind of in the same bubble, they're all talking about the same things, whereas I try to kind of take a step back and try to talk to my readers like real people and kind of explaining things that, you know, when you're in Washington, it seems so obvious, but there's kind of simple things, or there's things in politics that some people just have not spent their whole life talking about and kind of are looking for it to be explained to them in a little bit of a different way. So it does give me a different perspective. One day I would like to end up in Washington. I'd like to continue with journalism, hopefully from the Beltway. But I think right now it does give me a little bit of a different perspective because I'm kind of removed.
One of the things that we discussed, we had one of the students from Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida, on 1A, not long after the shooting there. And one of the things that we talked to them about was how their activism affects their adolescence. You know, they've taken it on themselves to build this really powerful campaign, but they're kind of leapfrogging some years that, by at least their parents' account, should be a little more carefree. Are you getting to be a teenager, or have you just decided to skip all that and run straight after Washington? Like, no. Are you still having just, like, goofy, silly teenage time?
For sure. I politics is what I wake up at 6 a.m. and I'm very committed to the newsletter. I wake up at 6 and start writing it each morning. I have it sent by about 7:40. Then I'm off to school, and really, obviously, politics is something I'm thinking about a lot during the day, but it's not my whole life, and certainly I'm doing things just like any other teenager, kind of from the rest of the day. And it's what I do in the morning, and it's what I love, but it's certainly not my whole life.
Let me get to a few questions. Jean from Crevecoeur?
Crevecoeur.
Crevecoeur? Gabe, you ever want to host a show? Just let me know. When we're on the road, we can switch seats. Jean from
Crevecoeur
asks, see, I'm not going to screw that up twice. How do you manage keeping up with breaking news and the demands of school?
Yeah, I mean, it's not always easy to balance, but it really is just about kind of making sure I get home each day and make sure what I need to get done is done, and I'm always staying on top of my homework and in touch with my teachers and making sure what I need to do is done, but I am also always kind of keeping an eye on Twitter, on the news cycle, and trying to pay attention to what's going on, because it's definitely true that, I mean, the stories change quickly, and if you stop paying attention for a little bit, if I start studying for a test for, you know, 20 minutes, suddenly the whole story could be changing, and what I'm writing about the next morning could be different.
We meet every Thursday at 1A to figure out our list for the Friday News Roundup, and I'm looking at our list for this week. I wonder what you think we should talk about tomorrow. Let's take just the first, you know, we do 2 hours, one domestic, one international. What would you say is the story that we should start this week's Friday News Roundup with across the country? What stands out to you?
I mean, for me, I guess this week, a lot of what I've been covering in the newsletter has been with the same for a lot of the past few months has been the Russia investigation, and there kind of seems to be daily developments in that investigation that I've been kind of covering, and a lot of my readers have been, I think, appreciative that trying to break down, because there are so many stories coming from so many different outlets about that.
Any particular aspect of the Russia investigation this week that stands out to you?
Well, this week, I mean, you saw yesterday the president shook up his legal team and hired Emmett Flood to replace Ty Cobb, and kind of signaling a more aggressive approach. So I think you're seeing some changes in the president's legal strategy there. And then also, you know, connected, but on a little bit of a different issue, the case with Stormy Daniels, where you saw just last night Rudy Giuliani revealing that the president did in fact reimburse Michael Cohen for the payment to Stormy Daniels.
And what about, I don't know if you focus on international news at all, or do you mostly focus with
mostly
politics?
Mostly from Washington.
So you would be focusing partly on the Russia investigation, particularly the Michael Cohen story, mm-hmm. Stormy Daniels, and also the shakeup in the legal team.
That's right.
I hope you know that our producers are listening right now, and they one day you're going to be on the roundup. I just want you to know. We have a few more things we'd like to ask you, though, because your audition's not done, young man. And if you fail, we're sending you right back to chemistry class. Don't think we won't. I'm Joshua Johnson, glad to be with you from St. Louis. You're listening to 1A from WAMU and NPR.
We'd like to thank our sponsor who brings you this message, Discover Card, who alerts you if they find your Social Security number on any one of thousands of risky websites. Discover believes there are some things that you just need to know. It's just another way Discover looks out for you, not just your account. And best of all, Social Security alerts are free for Discover Card members. All you have to do is sign up online. Learn more at discover.com/freealerts. Limitations apply.
Hey, I'm Kelly McEvers from Embedded. Bill Spencer works at a coal mine in Kentucky. And when I start to ask him about a future without coal, he knows what I'm going to say.
So if
coal goes out, I'm done for.
Coal Stories on the NPR One app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, Gabe, let's continue with your live audition for the Friday News Roundup with a question from Peter Harris in Chesterfield. Peter asks, so much political reporting is biased. How do you address bias in your newsletter?
Yeah, and that's a really great question, and that's part of what I'm so committed to doing in Wake Up Politics is, as best as possible, trying to remain nonpartisan and unbiased and really just committed to giving only the facts. I never inject my personal opinion into the newsletter. I mean, obviously, I do think there are choices that I make in terms of what I cover and obviously how I cover them, but I try to commit to just giving my readers the facts and then arming them with those facts to allow them to make up their minds for themselves.
I kind of feel, and that's mm-hmm. no quarrel with that, but I feel like among particularly some younger journalists, mm-hmm. there is a growing interest in advocacy journalism or activist journalism that comes from a clearly disclosed political bias. Personally, I have no problem with that as long as I know where you're coming from. Like, mm-hmm. okay, I know that you're leaning left or leaning right. Fine, I know how to receive what you've written. Is that the way, do you plan to maintain as nonpartisan and clinical a view as possible, or are there ever days when you want to write a good, strong commentary?
I don't. I pretty much wake up, I don't think that when my readers are opening the newsletter, I don't think they're looking for or expecting my opinion or what I'm thinking. What they want to know is they want to know the facts, they want to know what's going on, they want to be able to understand what's going on, and then they can take that and make up their minds for themselves. And so I'm really committed to just, you know, on whatever story it is, whether it's a story about the president or Congress, just giving my readers what's going on and not straying from that, because I think that's what my role should be.
Let's get to a question from here at the community room at St. Louis Public Radio. Hi.
Hi, my name is Sarah Fentum. I am a new resident of St. Louis. I recently moved back from Indianapolis. And most of the time when Missouri and St. Louis is in the news, it's for less than flattering stories about our governor or about race relations, redlining somewhat. So when I told everybody from Indianapolis that I was moving here, they raised their eyebrows and they were a little bit worried about me. So what do you think when the national media covers St. Louis that they might be missing? And what do you wish that they knew about our community?
Hey, Gabe, before you answer that, I am curious, though. Give me your name again, please.
Sarah Fentum.
Sarah, when your friends in Indianapolis found out you were moving to St. Louis and they were worried, what exactly were they worried about?
I think they were worried about how dangerous the city was. I think they worried that I might that I might get hurt or that it was some sort of... to Indianapolis's credit, this was not everybody. It was certain people that maybe...
That's okay. We're just going to pick on now.
...visited here. But yeah, they were worried that... I think they were worried that it was sort of a riot-filled, dangerous, violent city.
Is this like post-Ferguson preconceptions?
I think absolutely. I think because that's when St. Louis, when the national media covers St. Louis, it's because of those problems, which I absolutely think are worth covering, and we cover them here at St. Louis Public Radio. But do you feel like the city is misrepresented, or what do you wish that people knew about living here that they might be missing?
Gabe?
That's a good question. I don't know that I could speak to that exactly, that the city is being misrepresented. I will say, you know, growing up in St. Louis and being politically involved, I have to say it's been a really great place to kind of grow up in political engagement, because a lot of the issues you said, which I guess aren't always flattering, but they are fascinating things to be reporting on and to be able to do my own original reporting on a lot of different issues, whether it's the Ferguson protests, like you said, or a lot of a series of really fascinating Senate and gubernatorial races, or of course the issue that's going on with our governor right now and the allegations surrounding Governor Greitens. And so I will say, for me, it's really exciting that St. Louis is often, you know, kind of a hotbed of a lot of really interesting, I think, dynamics that kind of play out across the country. And so being able to report on those and cover a lot of different politicians as they visited St. Louis has been really exciting to me. So it's been a really great place for me to kind of start out in journalism.
Hannah Rama wrote on our website, the1a.org, some Americans want journalists to disclose their political affiliations as they believe that somehow affects the facts being reported. Two questions. One, are you pre-registered to vote? If so, are you pre-registered with any political party? And two, this sounds like a three-part question, actually. And two, what is your view of the idea of disclosing this information?
I think I'm too young to pre-register to vote, so I'm not. I think there's a lot of different schools of journalism, and I think that's good. I think it's good to have diversity in the media. I think that's one of the things that's really great about this moment in journalism, especially because of the internet and social media. And it's the reason why I'm able to have this platform. It's that there's a lot of different voices that are able to kind of emerge. And so for me, I think what's always made sense to me is, you know, whenever I'm reading the news, I'm really reading it through the perspective of how can I best explain this to my readers, how can I best distill it so it can make sense to them, not what do I think about it, how do I feel about it. But if there's other journalists who, you know, take that in a different way, I think that's good, and I think it's good for people to read all kinds of journalism.
Let's get to another question from our audience. Hi.
Hi there. My name is Jocelyn. I live in a town called Owensville that's about an hour and a half down 44 and only has about less than 2,000 people in it. So I'm from rural Missouri. And I actually have a two-part question, which might actually be a three-part question as well. So first of all, how did you develop such an impressive following from mom to 50,000 followers? And then the next question is, do you think that your generation's interest in activism and politics can help mitigate the polarization that we're feeling in our country? And if so, why? And if not, why not?
Those are really great questions. I'll say, for me, in terms of growing my following, I really did. I just started writing it to my mom. I always loved to write, and politics began to be something that really interested me. And so I just started sending it to her, and she started sending it to friends and family. And then I did get some coverage in a lot of different newspapers and on TV. And I think it's amazing to me that 50,000 people read my newsletter. You know, I'm just a sophomore in high school, but I think it is the result of the fact that I've, you know, for 7 years now, kind of continued putting out a product every weekday morning, except for when I'm on spring break, and you know, trying to get better and better and improve and focused on kind of the same kind of core mission of being comprehensive but understandable and nonpartisan. And so I think people have just appreciated that. I think that's something people are looking for in the news and not always getting. And so I think that it's just kind of the result of kind of years of kind of putting myself out there and getting better and better at it that people have been responding. To answer your second question, I really do. I think that my generation is committed to kind of changing how polarized our political climate is. What I say all the time is the school I go to, there's a lot of kids who are very engaged in politics, very informed, And I just notice all the time the complete difference between the debates that I'm seeing in the classrooms at school and in the hallways and the debates that go on in Washington, and the difference in rhetoric that is used and the use of facts, and it, which is kind of sad to me to see that in my high school there might be debates at kind of a higher level than in the halls of Congress. It's not ideal, but I think it does say something that I think my generation is committed to being politically involved, but also in having those conversations and talking to people that disagree with us. And I think there's something about being in high school with people where you can't avoid people with different points of view.
Right.
You're kind of all put together. And so I do think it's something that my generation hopefully will change and is committed to changing.
All right. All those in favor of letting Gabe in the Friday News Roundup, let it be known by aye. All those opposed? The ayes have it. Gabe Fleischer, the creator and writer of Wake Up to Politics. Go back to chemistry class. Thanks for talking to us.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm Scott Detrow. There is so much political news to follow these days, but you don't have to keep up with all of it. You just have to keep up with us on the NPR Politics podcast. You can find us on the NPR One app or wherever you get your podcasts.